The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Lots to get to on today's program. We probably won't have as much time toward the end to continue with our Bible study, but hopefully we can save a few minutes for our study through the Book of Exodus, the last two programs, which you can listen to at the trumpet.com website. We've been studying through those plagues of Exodus, or the plagues that God put upon Egypt. And we got through, I think, Exodus 12 yesterday on the program. So we'll continue our study with the Israelites' journey on through the Red Sea there in the chapters that follow. But first, I want to get into the Mueller report. Sam has had some opportunity the last few days to be reading through this monstrosity of a document, 400 and some odd pages, and he's flagged a few things and highlighted some bits and pieces here and there, and I've tried to skim through as much of it here this morning as possible. As most of you know, we were traveling last week when the report, I guess, was released toward the end of Friday, and that was, I believe, preceded or it coincided with the Attorney General's statement as he summarized some of the contents from the report. And so that then came out. Of course, before that, you had the media up in arms over the initial statement that the Attorney General made, saying that there was no collusion and there's no obstruction of justice. And so then the entire document shows up with some redactions here and there, and that's not sufficient as far as President Trump's enemies are concerned. They've got to have every single word in black and white. They've got to see everything in this report. But there's enough there, really. There's enough, and so much of this was leaked. It was leaked over the last couple of years. In a lot of ways, you read through some of this material, and there's nothing new there. It does exonerate Donald Trump. There's no doubt about that. And with respect to Russian collusion, or rather Russian interference, I should say, there was no collusion. But with respect to the interference, it really makes the Obama administration look bad, because this was going on years before he left office and he did nothing about it. Not one thing. But really, this whole investigation, almost 2 years of it, and the Attorney General's already told us about how far-reaching it was, how many people were interviewed and so on. I'll come to that a little bit later. But this has been one massive cover-up of the administrative state, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, the Obama-era officials, Clapper, Brennan, Comey, McCabe, all of them, Strzok, Page. It really has just concealed their nefarious activities, the evil, the illegal acts. It's like my father said in the Saving America article, the more and more you get into this, the more and more you see just how much evil, just how much lawlessness there is at the very top tier of the Department of Justice, the FBI. Some of that's being cleaned up, but it's not going to be fixed. We know this. You look at this report, just page one, it talks about how the investigation got started in the first place. The investigation into Donald Trump, the Trump campaign, and the Russian government's interference in the 2016 election. This is from the Mueller report. Right at the start, it says, in late July 2016, soon after WikiLeaks' first release of stolen documents, a foreign government contacted the FBI about a May 2016 encounter with Trump campaign foreign policy advisor George Papadopoulos. Papadopoulos had suggested to a representative of that foreign government that the Trump campaign had received indications from the Russian government that it could assist the campaign through the anonymous release of information damaging to the Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. That information prompted the FBI on July 31st, 2016, to open an investigation into whether individuals associated with the Trump campaign were coordinating with the Russian government in its interference activities. That's what prompted all of this. So says Bob Mueller and Andrew Weissman and all the people that put together these left-wing Democrats, as you know. It all got started because of a meeting that George Papadopoulos had. Now, you think about what was happening on the other side. The Steele dossier put together, what was it, June, even before that in 2016, and then Brennan and others really pushing it out there in the middle part of that year, even before the election. And it was put together by Christopher Steele, a foreign national. He compiled information, lies actually, from other foreign nationals, Russians, in fact. And then it was bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton and the DNC. So with respect to the Steele dossier, this garbage document, with respect to that, you know who wrote it. You know it was composed by all these foreign nationals. You know it was bought and paid for by Hillary Clinton and the Democrats. And then we know who leaked it even. And we know the reporters that ran with it. Before and after the election, we know all of these things, and none of this justified an investigation into Hillary Clinton or John Brennan or James Clapper or Jim Comey. None of it. And I want you to think about, as we go through some of these facts, I want you to think about what was it? Jared Kushner brought this out in an interview he had the other day. I'll play that in a moment. But think about what was it that really impacted the election of 2016. Considering the press coverage, considering the stories that were out there, even though we now know they were bogus, they were total lies based on that garbage document, the Steele dossier. Well, Kushner, as I said, he was in a sit-down interview the other day where he talked about, there were these Russian trolls that were out there putting a few thousand dollars into Facebook ads. And as he brings out, okay, that's something that we want to work to stop or to prevent. But on the other hand, let's talk about the damage that's been done. Let's talk about what really did influence the election process, adversely influence it. This is, let's skip ahead to clip five, Jared Kushner just the other day.
And quite frankly, the whole thing's just a big distraction for the country. And you look at, you know, what Russia did, you know, buying some Facebook ads to try to sow dissent and do it, and it's a terrible thing. But I think the investigations and all of the speculation that's happened for the last 2 years has had a much harsher impact on our democracy than a couple of Facebook ads. And I spent about, I think they said they spent about $160,000. I spent $160,000 on Facebook every 3 hours during the campaign. So, you know, if you look at the magnitude of what they did and what they accomplished, I think the ensuing investigations have been way more harmful.
Way more harmful. And just to put it in perspective, he's talking about the hundreds of thousands of dollars he spent when helping Donald Trump during the 2016 campaign on Facebook ads. And these trolls, they spent $160,000, and really? That tilted everything in Donald Trump's favor? Well, look at what Donald Trump was going against with these news reports that were coming out before the election about Carter Page and all these other things and the ties to Russians. And then look at how his presidency has been damaged since his election as well. That's how it all got started. Page one. Page two, what do we know? We know this. The investigation, this is a quote The investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in its election interference activities. In other words, there was no collusion. And it says it over and over again in this report, put together by people who hate Donald Trump. They couldn't find one shred of evidence to suggest that he colluded with Russia. I saw this clip over the weekend. This was Brian Williams. This was right after the report was released last Friday, and you had Brian Williams of MSNBC. He's trying to pin down Jay Sekulow, who is one of the president's attorneys. And it's almost laughable how the attorney points him to what it actually says in the report. It's as if the reporter didn't even read it. Not one bit of it. He was in for a surprise with this exchange. This is clip 7.
My first question, I'm afraid, is going to verge on plain English. Where did the attorney general get off with that characterization this morning, including four mentions that there was no collusion? What document was he reading compared to the one we're left with?
Well, page 2 of the document says the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign coordinated with the Russian government in its election of interference activities. So it's right from the document itself.
Have you read part 1?
I have read part 1 and part 2.
You find good news in here for the president and the administration?
The investigation did not, page 181, the investigation did not establish that the contacts described in volume 1, that's the Russian contacts, amounted to an agreement to commit any violation of federal criminal law, including foreign influence and campaign finance laws. Yeah, I think it's a very good win.
That's the president's attorney, one of them, telling Brian Williams what it says in the report. Yes, this does represent a big win for the Trump administration. Do you think, in listening to that reporter, do you think the news media, do you think they're really going to learn some serious lessons from this past 2 years? Do you think they're going to show any kind of repentance? You know the answers to these questions, of course. Just listen. Listen to them. Listen to them even after the facts have emerged. Listen to the way they spin the story. They spin the report. Well, here it is on page 2. Here it is again, page 181. Switching back to the early part of the document. And again, just to keep in mind the impact on the election. This is page 6. It says it's Carter Page. His July 2016 trip to Moscow and his advocacy for pro-Russian foreign policy drew media attention. The campaign then distanced itself from Page and by late September 2016 removed him from the campaign. That's the Trump campaign. Carter Page, he started getting some attention, some media attention. How did that happen? It's about his trip to Moscow in July of 2016, and it got media attention in September of 2016 because of what? Because of the Steele dossier. And then I forget who, Yahoo News or AP, one of the two, they ran with the story. They started reporting on some of the content from the Steele dossier, put together by a foreign national based upon input from other foreign nationals who were in Russia, Russians. You want to talk about influencing the election? What kind of an impact did this news, Yahoo News, running with the story? And then, yes, the Trump administration, he did distance himself from Carter Page. He removed him from the campaign, I think, the next day, the day following the Yahoo News story, or Yahoo, whatever you say, however that's pronounced. But that was just the first of what would be many. We've gone through some of that before, the sources. Who was pushing the Steele dossier? Who was reporting on it? How it was leaked? Page 13. Some of this was summarized in the Attorney General's statement from a few weeks ago, just how thorough this investigation was, with something like 40 FBI agents, all of these intelligence analysts and forensic accountants, paralegals, 2,800 subpoenas. 2,800. They issued 500 search and seizure warrants. This is the Mueller team. 230 orders for communication records. 50 orders authorizing use of pen registers. They made 13 requests to foreign governments. They interviewed approximately 500 witnesses, and they brought 80 witnesses before grand juries. $35 million. And so the president, of course, this was when he was leaving the White House yesterday, he just commented on, look, they know everything about me. And now Congress, now the House of Representatives, now the Democrats want more information? Now they want the tax returns? Now they want this? Now they want that? They're not satisfied. 2 years of this. Listen to the president yesterday as he talks about just how thorough this investigation has been. Clip one.
Well, the subpoena is ridiculous. I have been the most transparent president and administration in the history of our country by far. We just went through the Mueller witch hunt, where you had really 18 angry Democrats that hate President Trump. They hate him with a passion. They were contributors in many cases to Hillary Clinton. Hate him with a passion. How they picked this panel, I don't know. And they came up with no collusion, and they actually also came up with no obstruction. But our attorney general ruled, based on the information, there was no obstruction. So you have no collusion, no obstruction. Now we're finished with it, and I thought after 2 years, we'd be finished with it. No, now the House goes and starts subpoenaing. They want to know every deal I've ever done. Now, Mueller, I assume, for $35 million, checked my taxes, checked my financials, which are great, by the way. You know they're great. All you have to do is go look at the records. They're all over the place. But they checked my financials, and they checked my taxes, I assume. It was the most thorough investigation probably in the history of our country. I think I read where they interviewed 500 people. I say it's enough.
That's the president yesterday as he's leaving the White House, talking before reporters like he always does, answering their questions. Transparency. And, of course, media. The media today, last night, they scoffed. They scoffed at him saying and tweeting that he's been so transparent. But the report itself reveals the transparency. It reveals just how far-reaching this investigation has been. 500 witnesses. They can scoff all that they want. But he has been thoroughly, thoroughly investigated into. He has been thoroughly checked out by Mueller and everyone else. Kushner also, this is one of the president's top advisors, his son-in-law. He, too, talked about just the extent of this two-year investigation. Clip four.
When the whole notion of the Russia collusion narrative came up, I was the first person to say, happy to participate with any investigations. I thought the whole thing was kind of nonsense, to be honest with you. I mean, we ran a very untraditional campaign, and we had a lot of outsiders coming in, and in the beginning, we couldn't even get a lot of the people from Washington to work with the campaign. So normally in politics, you have people who are known by all the different entities, and we were just very unknown to everybody. Our focus during the campaign was on the candidate, the message, and we built a very entrepreneurial campaign, and we made a lot of very good decisions along the way, which is what enabled us to be successful. I think at this point I've done 3 House interviews. I did about 9 hours with a special counsel. And if you look at my statement from July, I put out about a 12-page statement about explaining all these different things. I think that everything I said is now proven to be true, and it's been very, very thoroughly investigated. And
thoroughly investigated. He answered tons and tons of questions. This is a point Victor Davis Hanson brought out in a piece just yesterday about President Trump's cooperation with this investigation. Never mind what he supposedly said to one of his lawyers, or that maybe he wanted Mueller to be fired, but it never did happen, did it? He just let it play out. Hanson says Trump waived executive privilege. He turned over more than 1 million pages of administrative documents. He allowed then White House counsel Don McGahn to submit to over 30 hours of questioning by Mueller's lawyers. His attorney, White House counsel. Do you think Obama would have allowed this? Do you think a President Hillary Clinton would have allowed her attorney to be subjected to 30 hours of questioning? Donald Trump did it. He allowed it. Hanson says Mueller's team went down every blind alley relating to its investigation, except where Obama-era officials were likely culpable for relevant, unethical, or illegal behavior. So it was totally one-sided. With respect to Trump and all of his allies, anyone in his administration, they went down every blind alley looking for anything and everything that they could find. And they found nothing. They found no collusion and no obstruction of justice. And all of this was triggered, supposedly, just by a meeting that George Papadopoulos had in July of 2016. This Russian interference is a pretty lengthy section in the early part of the report on that. This outfit, the Internet Research Agency, IRA, its initials are. It's a Russian organization that, as it says here in the report, it began operations targeting the United States as early as 2014. Donald Trump, remember, he came down the escalator in the summer of 2015. He won the election in November of 2016. Who was president in 2014? Who was the one that just ridiculed the thought of any kind of Russian interference as late as September or October of 2016, just weeks before the election? Well, according to the Mueller report, Russia was meddling as early as 2014. It says, using fictitious U.S. personas, IRA employees operated social media accounts and group pages designed to attract U.S. audiences. These groups and accounts, which addressed divisive U.S. political and social issues, falsely claimed to be controlled by U.S. activists. Over time, these social media accounts became a means to reach large U.S. audiences. IRA employees traveled to the United States in mid-2014 on an intelligence-gathering mission to obtain information and photographs for use in their social media posts. Well, that makes Barack Obama look pretty bad. That really does make him and the deep state look pretty bad. What was John Brennan doing about this at the CIA or Jim Comey at the FBI? What about James Clapper heading up the National Intelligence? They did nothing. They did nothing. It was only after Donald Trump won in November of 2016 that they started running with this hoax. This narrative, it goes on and says in this same section that the Russians preferred Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton. And I think that's something that could easily be disputed. But leave that aside. It makes the point here that it preferred Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton, and it also preferred Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton. Which makes me wonder why Bernie Sanders wasn't investigated. You have all these videos that are surfacing, even recently, of him 10, 20, 30 years ago praising the Castro regime in Cuba, praising communism and socialism, You have him making trips to Russia, cozying up to Russian officials when he was a young man. None of that triggered an investigation into Bernie Sanders or his campaign. None of it. But George Papadopoulos, a low-level advisor on a campaign for an individual, a businessman who had never been in politics his entire life, that triggered what we now know to be that counterintelligence investigation that went on for about a year, maybe more. And then, of course, the nearly two-year Mueller investigation and the nonstop, relentless attacks that continue now from the House of Representatives and certainly from the media. One, completely one-sided. My father in that Saving America article, remember, he speaks about how it would have been, or what would have happened, had Hillary Clinton won this same section about Russian interference. Jared Kushner made this point about, okay, well, it's wrong and we want to stop it, but let's consider it. Let's keep this in perspective. $160,000 in Facebook ads, really? That's what tilted everything in the favor of Donald Trump? Listen to this quote. It says, the office identified dozens of U.S. rallies organized by the IRA. The earliest evidence of a rally was a Confederate rally in November 2015. It says, the IRA continued to organize rallies even after the 2016 U.S. presidential election. The attendance at rallies varied. Some rallies appear to have drawn few, if any, participants. Some of the rallies didn't even bring in one participant. These are the Russian meddlers. Not having much success, I guess. Who had more success? What was more harmful to the U.S. election process? These Facebook users or the Hillary Clinton campaign working together, colluding with foreign nationals to produce this garbage document that was the Steele dossier? It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing to look at this. He says that later on, this is toward the end of Volume 1, which talks about the Russian interference. And then the second volume of this nearly 500-page report focuses more on obstruction of justice, or lack thereof. But here's what it says at the end of the first volume of the Mueller report. It says, finally, although the evidence of contacts between campaign officials and Russia-affiliated individuals may not have been sufficient to establish or sustain criminal charges, several U.S. persons connected to the campaign made false statements about those contacts and took other steps to obstruct the office's investigation and those of Congress. The office has therefore charged some of those individuals with making false statements and obstructing justice. So we didn't find any collusion. There was no evidence of collusion. But some of the people, you know, we interviewed 500 people. We issued 2,800 subpoenas. And in the course of this two-year, $35 million investigation, we caught some people telling falsehoods. We caught them telling a lie. We caught them in process crimes. We caught them in crimes that were revealed, not as part of the investigation, or the investigation didn't turn up the crime. It was a crime committed during the investigation because of what an individual said in the FBI presence or in an interview with the FBI. Well, you know the story about some of those cases with Mike Flynn and Paul Manafort, and on it goes. This is switching to Volume 2 about obstruction. It says here, the evidence we obtained, and this is something that the Attorney General alluded to in his summary of the report a few weeks back. He says, Mueller does, the evidence we obtained about the president's actions and intent presents difficult issues that prevent us from conclusively determining that no criminal conduct occurred. Accordingly, while this report does not conclude that the president committed a crime, it also does not exonerate him. 2 years in, And you get to this point, you either recommend charges or you don't. There's either a crime committed or not. And he says here, there's no crime. We have not concluded that there's no crime, but we haven't exactly exonerated him. And that leaves the press just enough. That leaves the Democrats in all of the committees just enough to continue with this hoax, to continue with the witch hunt. As the president continually says, this says here, well, I won't even quote it. It's just talking about this investigation. Then Mueller points out that there's been three congressional committees that have opened investigations. It's just like the president said yesterday. Look, how thorough. It's enough. It's enough. Three congressional committees, a special counsel, 2 years, a counterintelligence investigation, all of this illegal spying. He told Congress yesterday, that's enough. How about if you get back to work for the American people? Well, later on in part two of this report, it talks about the firing of Comey. It says on page 61, after Comey publicly confirmed the existence of the FBI's Russia investigation on March 20th, 2017, the president was beside himself and expressed anger that Comey did not issue a statement correcting any misperception that the president himself was under investigation. And that's true. The president was furious. And again, you don't call into question, and not in this report, the fact that Comey lied to the president, the fact that Comey assured the president that he wasn't part of this. Then he comes out in March and in front of the whole world, he says, well, we are investigating the Trump campaign's ties to Russia. And then the president is furious, saying, look, you've got to clarify that and say that I'm not being investigated. Now, consider that reaction and how normal it is, as Victor Davis Hanson brings out, particularly with what we now know. There was no collusion. And so the president rightfully is saying in March of 2017 to his FBI director, look, tell the American people, there's no collusion here. I'm not some Russian spy. But they wouldn't do it. The intelligence officials, Comey and others, they wouldn't do it. Well, we can't comment publicly about the nature of the investigation. That would be inappropriate. And so the president's left out. He's just left hanging out to dry, basically. Victor Davis Hanson has it right. How could anyone? Well, let me just read it. Anyone targeted by a massive investigation who knows he is innocent of an alleged crime is bound to become frustrated over a seemingly never-ending inquisition. That's right. How would you react? How would you respond? President Trump has been responding the way that he knows how. He's fought back. Page 76, the evidence does not establish that the termination of Comey was designed to cover up a conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia. There was no conspiracy. And then he goes on to say, firing Comey, that's not an obstruction of justice. And then the rest of part two talks about, well, the media said this, and then the president tweeted this. Listen to this. In late June or January 2018, the media reported that in June of 2017, the president had ordered McGahn to have the special counsel fired. So that's where we are now. Did the president or did not the president suggest to McGahn or tell McGahn that Mueller should be fired? Well, what do we know? What are the facts? That Mueller wasn't fired, that the investigation continued right on up through to last Friday, and then finally the report is submitted. And you've got the back and forth on what the president might have said or didn't say to McGahn, one of his attorneys. The same attorney that the president said, fine, submit to the questioning, and 30 hours of it. 30 hours of questioning. Page 125, it says on July 31st, listen to this. This is in the 2-year investigative report. And it sounds like you'd it sounds like a column that you'd read at the Daily Caller or something. It says, on July 31st, 2018, Manafort's criminal trial began in the Eastern District of Virginia, generating substantial news coverage. The next day, the president tweeted, "This is a terrible situation, and Attorney General Jeff Sessions should stop this rigged witch hunt right now." Minutes later, further on it says, minutes later, the president tweeted another message. And that's the way it goes in this second part of the report. Further on, it writes, the president's tweets about the Manafort trial were widely covered by the press. And so you have this accounting of what happened in the press, what President Trump said. Just looking at the all of the sources cited, to take two pages, page 125, you have a quote or a paraphrase from the State of the Union with Jake Tapper, and then another report on the Paul Manafort trial on CNN. Then you've got three references to Donald Trump tweets. Then you have a statement from Sarah Sanders. She's the White House spokesperson. And then on page 127, you have references to Fox and Friends and their exclusive interview with Donald Trump, an interview that he gave to the whole world, the general public. And then another reference to Fox and Friends, and then another one to Fox and Friends, and then another one to a column by Maggie Haberman at the New York Times. This is in the Mueller report. Hundreds and hundreds, all of these sources that they've brought together. It's all part of the same circular reasoning, circular narrative, the same echo chamber. They're all colluding with each other. It's been that way from the beginning. So as I said at the start, there's nothing new here. We've seen it already in the New York Times. We've seen it already in the Washington Post. And they knew, if these people were honest, they knew there was no collusion from the beginning. But they carried on with the hoax, even through the elections from last fall. Let's talk about who is tampering with the U.S. election process. Let's talk about how this has adversely affected the U.S. election process. I would think that all of this, the fact that it continued even through the midterm elections last fall, well, those 13 Russians printing a few Facebook ads, coming over to the United States to get a few pictures and such so that they could organize meetings that no one attended. What a hoax. From the very beginning, this is toward the end. Listen to this. Evidence, this is Bob Mueller, evidence concerning the president's conduct toward Manafort indicates that the president intended to encourage Manafort to not cooperate with the government. The evidence we've turned up, it indicates that the president intended. Did he obstruct justice or not? That's the question. And the attorney general answered that. No, he didn't. But this is what the report's filled with. Words like indicate and intended. What did he say to McGahn? What did he mean by this? What did he mean by this tweet? What did he mean in that interview that he gave to the whole world? On and on it goes. A couple of final quotes here. It says, the president's efforts to influence the investigation. So there's influence. We're not going to say he obstructed justice, but he did try to influence the election, the investigation, I should say. But listen to this. The president's efforts to influence the investigation were mostly unsuccessful, but that is largely because the persons who surrounded the president declined to carry out orders or accede to his requests. See, he's mentally unstable. He's mentally unhinged. And at least we're grateful that the people who surrounded him stopped him from firing Mueller or stopped him from telling Manafort to not cooperate. Well, it concludes on page 182 by saying that we're not going to say he's obstructed justice, but this report is not meant to exonerate him either. Well, isn't that nice? 2 years on, $35 million, and they have nothing. But they want the cloud of suspicion to continue to hover above this presidency. They give the Democrats just enough to continue on with the hoax. President Trump yesterday, again, when answering reporters while leaving the White House, talking about this latest round and all of these subpoenas now, all of this additional information that Democrats are demanding. Here's what he had to say, clip two.
Well, we're fighting all the subpoenas. Look, these aren't like impartial people. The Democrats are trying to win 2020. They're not going to win with the people that I see, and they're not going to win against me. The only way they can maybe luck out, and I don't think that's going to happen. It might make it even the opposite. That's what a lot of people are saying. The only way they can luck out is by constantly going after me on nonsense.
See, he does a really good job, as my father said before, of exposing the evil. He knows it's driven by politics, and he knows that the only way they can beat him is if they go after him with all of this nonsense. One final clip from yesterday, clip three.
This has been litigated, just so you understand, this has been litigated for the last 2 years, almost since I got into office. Now, if you want to litigate, go after the DNC, Crooked Hillary, the dirty cops, all of these things, that's what should be litigated, because that was a rigged system. And I am breaking down the swamp. If you look at what's happening, they're getting caught. They're getting fired. Who knows what's going to happen from now on, but I hope it's very strong. But if you look at drain the swamp, I am draining the swamp.
That was the president outside the White House just yesterday talking about how he's exposing this evil. And that's why they're panicking the way that they are. That's why they're so nervous. There was one article, I don't have time to go through it, but this all, again, like I covered yesterday, or the day before, I forget the program, but there was a headline at the American Thinker, "The walls are closing in on Obama." Remember all those sound bites over the last 2 years? The walls are closing in on Donald Trump. In fact, they're closing in on Obama. A lot of this is being exposed. My father's talked about the spiritual dimension behind this attack. This is not just politics. In that Nunes memo, that's from April last year, my father said, "I'm not looking at this through the lens of politics. I look at what is happening from God's perspective." That's what we have to do with all of this. What is happening here? What is God's perspective on this? He says, when you look at it from God's perspective, you can discern when the devil is at work. You can see the devil's fingerprints. You can see Satan's influence. Victor Davis Hanson, in his piece, he said, despite compiling private allegations of loud and obnoxious Trump behavior, Mueller also concluded that there was not any actionable case of obstruction of justice by the president. It would have been hard, in any case, to find that Trump obstructed Mueller's investigation of an alleged crime. One, there never was a crime of collusion. Mueller, early on in his endeavors, must have realized that truth, but he pressed ahead anyway. It is almost impossible to prove obstruction of nothing. They knew there was nothing there, but they pressed ahead anyway. How do you explain this? This is on a level that goes far beyond a few Russian Facebook users trying to meddle, trying to disrupt. This is disruption from within on a massive scale. They want to bring down the government of the United States. And these are Americans. Talks about President Trump cooperating with the investigation. Says anyone targeted, this is Victor Davis Hanson, anyone targeted by a massive investigation who knows he is innocent of an alleged crime is bound to become frustrated. I read that earlier. And he speaks of Mueller's team going down every blind alley. It says the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrants were integral to Mueller's investigations, but there's no mention of how the FISA court was deceived by not being told that the chief evidence used to obtain the warrants was an unverified dossier paid for in part by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. That's not in the report. How they deceived the FISA court. That didn't raise any concerns in the minds of the Mueller investigators. It says some of the collusion narrative Mueller examined was based on FBI informants' unverified stories. Yet, strangely, the Mueller team did not investigate whether it was legal in the first place for the FBI, possibly with CIA help, to use informants to spy on a presidential campaign. Nothing in the report about that. Is this legal? What the CIA did? What the FBI did? Spying on a political campaign. It happened. It's being exposed. It says former FBI Director James Comey figures into the Mueller report, but there's no curiosity about whether he broke the law in leaking what may well have been four classified memos of private presidential conversations to the press for the purpose of forcing an appointment of a special counsel. And the media want to complain about this president not being transparent? He has been open and transparent, so much so because of the leaking. Much of it, he's not even out there exposing or revealing. There's people who hate him that are telling every little thing about a conversation they have. Think of all the phone conversations that have been leaked to the world. It says the Christopher Steele dossier likewise makes an appearance in the Mueller report, but for a team investigating the alleged collusion of foreigners in a U.S. election, there is silence about the salient fact that Steele, a foreign national, enlisted other foreign nationals to dig up dirt on Trump to weaken his election chances, with part of the funding for this research provided by the Clinton campaign. You couldn't make this up. It says what bothers many Americans about the collusion hoax is the accompanying sanctimony of the so-called investigators. The Mueller team could have helped itself had it just noted that much of the evidence it looked at was a product of Obama-era officials' unethical or illegal behavior. See, really, this is an ugly stain on Bob Mueller's reputation. Completely one-sided, dishonest, through and through. And you think about what all of these other characters on the other side, Comey, McCabe, Brennan, Clapper, Hansen points out how they've lied under oath. And they're all just raking in the dough from CNN, from MSNBC, from their books, from their book tours. Hansen says, finally, the problem with the Mueller investigation and with former intelligence officials such as Brennan, Clapper, Comey, and McCabe is pious hypocrisy. Those who have lectured America on Trump's unproven crimes have written books and appeared on TV to publicize their own superior virtue. Yet they themselves have engaged in all sorts of unethical and illegal behavior. And they've gotten away with it, at least to this point. They're getting away with it. Well, if you listen to the president, maybe some of them will be held to account. I thought this exchange last night on Fox. This is a former prosecutor, Joe DeGeneva. He was on Fox last night talking about all of this illegal activity coming from the investigators. This is clip six.
It has been evident from day one that there was a brazen plot to exonerate Hillary Clinton illegally, and then if she lost the election, to frame Donald Trump. This dossier was a knowing part of that. It was created by Hillary Clinton. It was created knowingly by John Brennan as part of a scheme to do everything they could to harm Donald Trump. The problem for Brennan and Clapper and Comey and Baker and all of them now is that the FISA court has already communicated with the Justice Department about its findings. And their findings are that for more than 4 years before the election of Donald Trump, there was an illegal spying operation going on by FBI contractors, four of them, to steal personal information, electronic information about Americans, and to use it against the Republican Party. There are going to be indictments. There's going to be grand juries. John Brennan isn't going to need one lawyer. He's going to need five.
Well, we'll see if any of that happens. But the truth is, slowly but surely, the truth is emerging, and we're seeing. We know there's a spiritual dimension behind this. We know that America is under attack. And you need the Bible, you need God's perspective to understand the significance of these events. Otherwise, it just turns into a political fight. It's like my father said in that Nunez memo article. We're not looking at this through the lens of politics. We've got to see it from God's perspective. My father gave a message. This was a little over a year ago, March of 2018. Just skip ahead to clip nine, Sam.
Yeah, this is what's happening in the FBI. The fix is in. They're going after President Trump, and they're going to do everything they can to destroy him, and they even have corrupt judges. Corrupt FBI, a corrupt DOJ, a corrupt State Department, 16 intelligence agencies corrupt during the Obama administration. How long would our freedom have lasted if God hadn't saved Israel? This is a horrifying report, I think. And we need to realize, though, that this is what has been happening. Now, they talk about leaks all the time, and that's something you hear about that all the time. Well, yeah, we've got leaks here and leaks there, and this has been going on for years, but the leaks recently and during the Obama administration, actually leading into the Trump administration, those leaks are about destroying the Trump presidency.
That's from a message my father gave just a little over a year ago. And he was speaking there following the revelations that came out in that Devin Nunez memo. And that's now been proven true. Jared Kushner said he submitted to those questions and such, and everything that he said during that investigation, everything that he revealed, it's true. Everything that Donald Trump had been saying from the beginning, it's a hoax. There's no collusion. There's no truth to it. All the tweets, all the interviews. I think most people would be upset and angry if they were subjected to that kind of an inquisition. This kind of a hoax. Think about what we're seeing. It's not going to stop. It'll continue. Isaiah 3, the prophecy, speaks about children. It speaks about our leaders behaving like children. Little children. Immature, emotionally unstable children who throw a tantrum, who throw a fit when they don't get their way. They don't accept the outcome. They don't accept the results. And so they attack. And they try to destroy. That's Isaiah chapter 3. And then, of course, Isaiah 1 speaks of the sickness that sets in our nations. A sickness from head to toe. God did intervene, as my father said there in that clip. He did intervene to save Israel temporarily. We would have lost our freedom. What freedom that remains had God not intervened? He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to wake us up. There's greater dangers that the United States is facing from without. But right now, you look at the sickness from within, and it surely is exposing us. It's exposing America to those much greater dangers that are looming on the horizon. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We didn't make it to Exodus 13 and 14, but I'll leave that to you to dig into tonight or tomorrow. Meet in due season, as I've been saying through this week. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.